Today is the fourth and final Sunday of Advent, of that period of expectant waiting and preparation for the coming of our Lord. And here at St. Timothy's, one of the ways we've been preparing for our Lord's arrival is through a series of homilies on prayer. So on the first Sunday of Advent, back at the beginning of the month, Father Meng set the tone by reminding us what prayer is, that communion with God, loving conversation with the God who created us and who calls us to himself. And Father also explained what Advent is and why prayer is such an appropriate theme for our Advent homilies. Advent is Latin for a coming towards, and during this season we think of three Advents, three approaches of our Lord. The first, of course, is Christmas, when our Lord came as a babe in a manger, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, born a child and yet a king, come to set his people free. So it's almost here. We're all very excited. We're going to remember, give thanks for, and celebrate Jesus' coming into the world. God the Son became man. He took on our human nature to reconcile us with his Father, whom we have offended by our sins. The second coming we prepare for during Advent is the final coming, when Christ will return in glory as the just judge. And we want to be ready because the four last things, death and judgment, heaven or hell, they're coming, Advent, they're coming for all of us, and we know not the hour. And then there's a third coming, a third Advent that we prepare for. And that's the entrance of Christ into our day-to-day life. The question is, how does the human race, how do we pass the time between the first Advent, that hour and moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold 2,020 years ago, and then this last Advent, when the Lord will appear in heavens at the sound of trumpet blast, which, you know, we know not when that'll come. So we praise God for the gift of so great a Savior, Christmas. We await his return, the second final coming. But what do we do in the meantime? Well, Jesus tells us, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, Advent, a coming, and we will come to him and dwell with him. And this is the third Advent that we think about, the third coming, that middle Advent between Christmas and the final coming, the coming of the triune God into our souls, making his abode in us, dwelling in us, as Jesus once dwelt in the manger. So God comes to us in his word and in the sacraments, and we abide in his presence through prayer. Prayer is how we spend quality time with the God who comes to us in our daily lives. So then Father Farrell spoke about the different kinds of prayer. We have verbal prayer, like the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, and that's the foundation of prayer. And then we go deeper. We meditate on the words. We meditate on the scriptures. We speak to God, and we pause, we listen to him. And then Father Scheer taught us how to handle difficulties in prayer, distractions and periods of dryness. With distractions, we persevere, constantly turning our minds back to God again and again. We find ourselves distracted. We recognize that. We return to the Lord. And with periods of dryness, we have to recognize that sometimes God withholds his consolations from us. A lot of times when people, especially when they first start praying, they get this warm, fuzzy feeling, this awareness of God's presence, of God's love for them. And that's a gift God commonly gives people starting prayer to encourage them to go deeper, to keep it up. But then, and this is very common, as the prayer life develops, God withholds those consolations. You don't feel that warm, fuzzy feeling. And that's God teaching us to love not the warm, fuzzy feeling, but to love him for himself. So we learn not to seek after the consolations of God, but to seek after the God of consolations. And now, on this final Sunday in Advent, I'm here to encourage you to pray without ceasing, as St. Paul told the Thessalonians. And this is how we live that long middle Advent between the birth of Christ and his second coming. Our Lord is always calling us to himself, and prayer is our response to him, our yes to his request, his desire to make a dwelling within us, to his coming to us. So how do we pray without ceasing? Well, here's something I think we should be able to remember. Hours make up days, which become weeks, that become months, that become years. Hours, days, weeks, months, years. In the beginning, God created the beginning. He created time. God created time for us to dwell in, just like he created the earth for us to dwell on. And in his wisdom, God structured time to remind us of him and to call us to him and to enable us to spend time with him in prayer. Hours, days, weeks, months, years, they're all biblical concepts central to the creation story. In the creation narrative, God created in days, and he rested on the seventh day, which gives us the week. He set the moon to track the months and the sun to track both the hours of the day and the years. And we pray without ceasing when we use the time periods created for us by God, when we use them to spend time with him, our hours, days, weeks, months, and years. So let's start with weeks, because the week is really the central unit of time in God's plan for us. God chose to create the world in 6 days, but then to add that seventh day in there is a day of rest, a day to keep the Sabbath, a day to set aside for the Lord. So keeping the Sabbath, keeping that one day a week set aside for God, has been central to his plan since the beginning. And it's even one of the Ten Commandments: remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So today the church keeps Sunday holy. It's the day of Christ's resurrection. It's the first day of the new creation. Every Sunday is a little Easter. And Sunday Mass has to be the center of the Christian life, because Jesus Christ is the center of the Christian life. And at Mass, Jesus Christ and his saving actions are made present for us on the altar. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is Christ's perfect offering of himself to the Father in the Spirit, made present for us. It's what gives our life its meaning. So at Mass, and this is going to happen in a little while, the priest says, you know this part, "Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God our Father." Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice. Well, the priest there is acting in persona Christi. He's acting in the person of Christ. So when he says my sacrifice, he's talking as Jesus, as our Lord, Jesus' sacrifice. And then my sacrifice and yours. Well, and yours, that's us. That's our sacrifices, our day-to-day troubles, worries, sufferings, also our desires, our hopes, our dreams. Pray that my sacrifice and yours, Jesus' and our sacrifice, may be acceptable to God our Father. So we have the great privilege at Mass of joining our lives to Christ and offering them up to the Father. And we know he'll take them, because he's taking Jesus, his beloved Son. He's going to take Jesus up in the Spirit and accept that perfect offering the Father will. So if we just grab onto Jesus, we know we'll be accepted. Every Sunday, we come to Mass and we prayerfully place the past week's joys and sorrows on the paten with the host to be offered up to God. We also place the coming week's trials on the paten. And then doing this, it unites our lives to Christ, and it makes his perfect prayer, his perfect self-offering, it makes it our prayer. So Sunday Mass, every Sunday, that's the axis around which the Christian life revolves, because the cross is the axis around which the universe revolves. It's the center of everything, the thing that gives everything its meaning, and the sacrifice of the cross is what happens there on the altar. So our life is a series of living our week, bringing it to Christ here at this Sunday Mass, and then taking that back with us to help us live out the next week. When our lives revolve around the sacrifice of the altar, it gives meaning to our lives. And then the weeks, which are crowned by Sunday, are composed of days. And we offer those days to God. So every morning, pray every morning, dedicating your day to God. Say, God, keep me close to you, Lord, throughout this day. And then every evening, ask pardon for any sins committed. Give thanks for blessings received. Thank you, Lord. I love you. And then the day is made up for hours. And this day is made up of hours. And this might be the hard part in praying without ceasing. We need to practice the presence of God. Just have that awareness that he's with us, loving us, helping us throughout the day. And we need to be aware of his presence. And a good way to do this, we need to find times when we consciously recall that back. So if we just do a little grace before meals, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, three times morning, afternoon, and evening, when we call God to ourselves, recall God's presence. And also we have to schedule time for him. We do it at work with meetings. We do it at school. We do it with activities. We need to do it with God. Schedule prayer times, whether it's I say a rosary every evening, I make a visit to the Adoration Chapel, or even just on the way home from work, I turn off the car radio and I spend time in prayer. That's our days and our hours. God also ordained the lunar calendar, the phases of the moon, the months, to mark the times of special feasts. And we see this a lot in the Old Testament. The moons blow the horn at the noon moon on the feast. And we still base our dating of Easter each year in part on the lunar calendar. And then every 12 months, we journey through a new liturgical year and the liturgical seasons. We celebrate Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost. So the colors of our vestments and customs like the Advent wreath remind us of where we are in that yearly cycle of remembrance and gratitude for the plan God has for us for our salvation, his saving actions throughout history. So pray without ceasing. Hours, days, weeks, months, years. We spend the hours of our days aware of God's presence. We dedicate each day to him. And then every Sunday, we reunite our lives to his at Holy Mass. As the months go by, we celebrate the feasts of his life and the feasts of his saints. And we follow the cycle of the liturgical year with its rhythm of fasts and feasts and the commemoration, the remembrance of God's saving actions. And we do this year in and year out. And that makes up a faithful life that'll culminate at the final coming, at the last Advent, in union with the good God who loves us. So a faithful life of prayer during this long middle Advent of our lives will lead us to eternal life at the final Advent.